Good morning, everybody. Welcome to all of you in the room, all of you online, watching all over the world at whatever time it is or whatever day it is. We are so excited you're here with us today. For those of you who are guests with us today, my name is Des. I'm the lead pastor here. We're in week three of a series called Something's Missing, and we're walking through a book in the Bible called James. James was Jesus' brother, and he was writing to people some important truths. He doesn't hold back on things, but I called the series Something's Missing because I'm seeing a gap. There's a gap between a few things. For example, there's a gap between maybe our conviction and our commitment. There's a gap between often our invisible faith and our visible faith. There's often a gap between our doctrine, these are the things I believe, and putting it on display. There's a gap. And James writes to these followers of Jesus and says, guys, girls, there's a gap. And he sets off by talking about, hey, life's hard. I talked about it last week. There's trials that come our way. There's difficulties. And then we have these temptations and we often fall into those temptations. But life isn't always easy. But I want you to persevere and gain endurance and gain strength. In fact, you need it. You need it to grow stronger. You need it to grow up. It's really needed. And he says, go for wisdom in the middle of your trial. Don't just complain. Ask for wisdom. And he leans into that. And I'm still going to stay in chapter one today and cover a certain section of scripture, which for some of you, you maybe have heard before. For some of you, you're thinking, yeah, I've heard this before, and I really have a clear, definitive goal today in my message that leads us up to baptism later on. And the clear goal is this: I may say some things you've heard before, but my responsibility today is to cause you to learn. It's to cause you to take action with what we talk about. It's not about listening to it on its own. It's to cause you to do something with this. And that's a big emphasis. As Mo said before, baptism's at the end of the service today. If you are a follower of Jesus and you've not been baptized, today's your day. Oh no, I need to check. No, today's your day. As I go through the message today, it's all about God said it, you do it. Like we put too many little things in there and too many caveats. And so today's your day. And so we're ready for you. Like we're ready for you to do that. So just be prepared for that. And some of you are like, if you leave during my message, I know where you live. Anyway, moving on. Maybe I don't. Are we ready? So we're in the book of James, chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 18 to 25 right now. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to it, or you've got the Bible app on your phone, you can turn to it there, but it'll be on screen. A lot of the scriptures will be on screen in full context. Some of them will just be reference only, but this one's on screen for you to follow along. James chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Here we go. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. It's important to know that that text has got to be understood in the context of last week's message and this chapter. And the context is life has its challenges, storms, trials. You're either in one, coming out of one, going into one, or one's coming. That's the human experience. And in the context of struggle and trial and difficulty, he puts these words in. That's important to know that. And often we want to take it out of context and just look at it isolated, but the flow of it is, I said last week, James writes, get wisdom, ask for it. Now he gives a how-to. And he gets, this is where we get wisdom from, and this is how we live it out. So let me read verse 19 and 20 again and share it. He says, my dear brothers, posture again. My dear brothers. He's not coming down and going, you're a bunch of losers. Fix it. No, guys, it's like, guys, please hear me when I say this. This is for your good. It's for our good. It's for the kingdom of heaven. It matters. He says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. For some of you, that line, you're getting angry, you're getting ticked off, you're shouting at Facebook, you're shouting at Instagram, you're shouting at fill in the blank, you're shouting at all the politics going on, you're angry, angry, angry. Quit it. It does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. I'm saying no more about that, but for some of you, that's what you need to focus on. However, he starts by saying, be quick to listen. This verse has often been wrenched out of the Bible and used as a standalone. Shouldn't be. Bible says, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Bible says, shut up, listen to me. This is what I have to say to you. Don't answer me back. Don't become angry. We've used it. We've applied it. It's not this. The context of this is clear. What is it we're quick to listen to? Some of you, there are some people, don't listen to them. Bible says you should listen to me. I'm sorry, but some of you I'm not going to listen to. Agreed? We go, whoa, 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 there's a bit of context here. This isn't saying listen to everybody. It says, be quick to listen. Quick to listen to what? He's revealed what we should be listening to. Because that's verse 19 and 20. They're sandwiched between verse 18 and 21. Verse 18 and 21 both say something that basically is declaring what it is we should be quick to listen to. Verse 18, he chooses to give us birth through the word of truth. Verse 21, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. Be quick to listen to what? Be quick to listen to God. Be quick to listen to his words. Be quick. When life is coming at you, where are you going to listen to? Who are you going to listen to? Who is the source of the wisdom? When all life, but when life is hard, be quick to listen. It happens to you. Have you got a go-to? Or is that go-to, I'm going to pray, I'm going to listen to God. And we get to listen to God through his word and through his people. But the reality is, be quick to listen to what? Quick to listen to God. That's where we find all wisdom. Don't forget, when James was writing this and those people were hearing it, why is he saying quick to listen? But Des, it doesn't say be quick to read the Bible. That's because then there were no printed Bibles. The Bible, as we know the Bible is right now, wasn't printed and available for our personal use for over 400 years after this was written. Therefore, when he says quick to listen to the word of God, the only way they had the word of God in them was to hear it. What was taught to them, what was read out on the scrolls by another teacher, it was imparted. So the word quick to listen here means listen, it means read, it means hear. Hear it, listen to it, read it, it's going in. It's personal. When you open your Bible, I encourage you, I'm going to say for all of us now, if you've never have, when you open your Bible, you're not reading it for information. You're reading it to meet someone. You're going to meet someone. You're reading it to hear from him, to hear from the king. It's not a life manual of rules. It's relational language for our maturity and growing up. It's personal. So when he says, be quick to listen, who are we quick to listen to? Where do we go for the wisdom? And it's quite clear that for the original readers and for us today, it's the word of God. There's the scriptures. And that is, you pray and you listen, and he illuminates from his word what he wants to show you. I'm going to lean into that today. Some of it is, I would say, level one understanding. But the issue why James is so strong on it is because we're going to pick out a clear gap today. And the something's missing series here is this. A lot of people read the Bible, are learning the Bible, but they're not living the Bible. What is a disciple of Jesus? I'll say it, and I'll say it to my grave. It's somebody who is following Jesus. How? We learn the words of Jesus, we live the ways of Jesus, and it looks like we love like Jesus. Learn, live, love. That's your life. That's it. If we just learn and don't live, James calls us delusional. Wow. If we learn it and we live it and we love like him, James says, blessed and wisdom and life and strength and beauty and glory, so much, and forgiveness and endurance and perseverance and life solid in a solid ground. So be quick. Go to, what does God say? Go to him in prayer, go to his word, go to the Lord. This is what we should do, because that's the pure source of wisdom. That's what it means. Now, and then he says, when you receive it, you receive it humbly. Humbly accept the word of God planted in you. Ah, see, Des, it says we've got to have the word planted in us. So therefore, let me make a suggestion. There's a gap. I don't think this is saying I have to memorize 14,000 verses. I think this is saying, remember 14 and live them. Do them. Humbly accept the word planted in you, and I accept it by trusting in it and living it out. I trust it and living it out. How does that happen? Jesus promised this is how it happens, John 14. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the counselor to you, the comforter. His role is to remind you of everything that I've taught you. So we take the words of Jesus and we implant them in us, and the Holy Spirit living in our lives then illuminates them, and he reminds us of his teaching and says, so live this way. Then we live it, and that living produces a person's life who loves like Jesus. Quite clear. It seems real elementary and super basic, but if we're really honest, in the Western church, there's a lot of learning the Bible and not much living the Bible. I think things would be different if that was the case. So then he goes on in verse 22 to 25. So he said what we're to listen to. Listen. Listen to it, humbly accept it, plant it in you. Get it planted in you. And then he says, but do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Oh, listening alone will lead to deception. Listening alone is delusional. It's a little bit like some of you have got gym membership and never go. I got a membership, I'm going to get fit. You got the membership, you've learned the instructions, you had the induction, you know how the machines work, you know when the classes are, and you just hope you'll wake up tomorrow looking like an Olympian. Put the work in. Do what it says. Oh, I'm going to lose a ton of weight. I got the diet plan. I got the plan, I got the nutritional breakdown, I got all my macros, I've got this, I'm more than, I got it all, I got it, I got the app, I got the app, it's all in there. Do what it says, and you see change. Here we are again, and he says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what He does. Why is James saying this? Why is he leaning in hard? Why is he accusing these believers of like, guys, he's accusing them and he's encouraging them to do what it says because he's not seeing it. And they're focusing, and the church history will show this, they're focusing on the purpose of the scriptures being about information and not transformation. They're focusing on knowledge. The Bible says knowledge puffs up. If your goal, oh, I need deeper teaching. I need more of the, I need to memorize more and memorize more and memorize more. I'm going to say something later on today and I'll mention it to you now. I believe for many of us, the season we're going into when it comes to God's word is less is more. We need to read less and do more of what we've read. We need to put into action what God says. And in so doing, you'll crave more because you'll see the more being lived out. But if we all want to, oh, I just need more information and more information and more information, I'm just telling you, look at the generation that has bred. And if we're not careful, the enemy takes a hold of that and just wants us to, it sounds weird, why would the enemy tell us to learn more Bible? Because if our emphasis is learn more Bible and not live more Bible, he makes us impotent. He's very deceptive. Don't forget, Satan knows the Bible. He quotes the Bible to Jesus when he's being tempted. And Jesus pushes back with application. Stick with me today because he then goes on to say this. Why does James want to pick this out? Because he heard Jesus say it. James, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wants to teach these believers something that the Holy Spirit has reminded him of, that Jesus said the role of the Holy Spirit is to remind you of all the things that I've taught you. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24 to 27, Jesus' words were this. Therefore, every one of you hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. We sang it in song one today. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, storms of life. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. What's the rock look like? Well, now he gives the opposite. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Clearly, two people hearing the words of God. They hear it. They read it. They learn it the same. Where's the difference? The one who does it. There's the difference. The one who trusts in it and puts it into action. Trusts it and puts it into action. And when I've been reading my Bible, I don't know about you, but sometimes God says it and you don't like it. Sometimes God says it and you go, really? Sometimes God says it and you go, not yet. Sometimes God says it and when I'm this. Sometimes God says it, yeah, you love your enemies. No, I'm not into that. Pray for those who are giving you a hard time. No, I'm not doing that. Forgive me my sinners, I forgive those who sin against me. Not doing that. You just forgive me, God. I'm not doing that. And a gazillion more. But Jesus is saying, you want strong life in the storms of life? Trust me in this. Oh, but I trust me in this. Work it out. Yeah, but I don't like what God's suggesting. I've got a better idea. Okay, that's okay as long as you acknowledge that you've made you God of your life and not him. And there's the tension. So then he goes on to say this. So that's what Jesus quotes. So James leans in verse 22 to 24. He said, so do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says, because Jesus had said that. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. I dived into this. I thought I'd do a deep dive. Why is James using this imagery? He said, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I did a deep dive, and this is what I found out. Some translations say anyone who doesn't do what it says is like somebody who looks at himself in a mirror. The Greek word here is male. any male. There's a gender here, and when I did the digging, it's important. How men use mirrors and how women use mirrors is very different. He's basically making a suggestion that when it comes to the word of God like a mirror, be like a woman. Let me explain a little bit. Let me dive in. For the generality on this one, mirror use. Let's talk about mirror use. It's been throughout the centuries, mirror use. Men, on a general level, use mirrors, but they glance in a mirror. The only time they look at a mirror a bit longer maybe is to shave, because there's an accuracy required. All right? Outside of that, men glance in a mirror and look and go, I'm good to go. Generally speaking, women gaze into a mirror. This is not at all meant to be a negative comment. Women, stick with me, because when it comes to the word of God, we're to be more like women and mirror use. Stick with me. Got to stick with me on this. Men glance in a mirror. I got it on. It's okay. The purpose of a mirror for a guy is, yeah, it's okay. I'm good to go. Yeah, I'm good to go. Everything's kind of where it should be. I'm good to go. Women, due to how they adorn themselves, pay more attention. Some of them even have magnifying mirrors. They're small things and they have magnifying mirrors, and the light needs to be right for the mirror. I mean, a guy, no big deal. Do you know what I mean? I've got the outfit, I've got the silhouette, I'm fine. Here we go. There's magnifying mirrors. Let me ask you a question. I asked this at a wedding the other day because I was interested in researching all of this. Back in the day, it seemed that most women in their purses would carry a mirror in a compact. Just raise your hand if you still do that. Who has a mirror in their purse right now? I'm not going to ask you to show me. Raise your hand if you have a mirror in your purse right now. There's still a few of you. But a lot of you girls, it's not that you don't have a mirror. It's called a phone. It's just a modern day compact. When guys go to the bathroom when they're not at home, they go to the bathroom for a reason. Women, however, there's two reasons. Because the mirrors play a role in the restroom. And then there's the mirrors, and there's a touch-up required. We realize this even in our motor cars. In the car, they invented these sun visors to protect from the sun. But somebody went, women want more than just to keep the sun out. We need to have a little mirror in there. So they flip it up, and then the really, really high-end cars put a light next to the mirror when it came up, because the role of that was, before I get out of the car, I need to make sure I've got it all okay. And there's even those female drivers, when they're driving, use a mirror, and they're doing this at the same time. Not a good idea. So the reality is, there's something about the way that women will look in a mirror. This is just the truth. And it's I look in a mirror, yeah, it's all right, off we go. But there's like this, and rolling, and pulling, and touching, and blemishing, and covering this up, and that another, and the light, and is it day, is it night? Does this shade go with this top? Does this shade go with those things? Here we go. And then there's a clothing. And then you need a full-length mirror. And the full-length mirror, the purpose for most guys, except for those guys who are flexing, most guys, when it comes to the mirror, they're looking in the mirror, they go, yeah, it's all fit and everything's zipped up, we're all good, off we go. You know, here we go. Women, they look, and does this color go? Does this height go? Does my length here? And it's side turns, and they're looking, and... and then we're good to go. That's why, husbands, when you say we're going out in 10 minutes, it's bad news for your wife. What do you mean 10 minutes? We need more than that. And we're grateful for it. I say this and I use humor to make it memorable, because throughout, James picks on a male doing this. Yeah, I'm good. Here we go. But he's going somewhere with it. When you treat the word of God and you go, yeah, I get it. I got my little taster. It's like living off Costco samples. Oh, it tastes nice, good. Oh, good message today, Des. I like a little bit of the word of God. I'm good for the week. It's all I need. It's not going, it's like, guys, we're meeting someone. This is the king of the universe who's got something to share with us. It's like man looking into a mirror. You're deluding yourself. You're going to forget. You need to be a bit more than that. You cannot just look and glance and forget. You're delusional. You're delusional expecting your life to grow in faith and wisdom and strength and courage to persevere under it all. You're delusional if you're not intently diving in and having a good look at what God has to say to you. I'm going to say it again. I believe what's needed in our lives is less is more. It's not more of God's word. It's God's word. Get it, live it, then more. Some of you in here, I'm just looking for a word from God to help me make a decision on what to do next. I'm looking for a word from God to do this. Well, have you done the last word from God? Have you acted on that one yet? Oh, I'm just looking. It's like, have you graduated from that test that he's putting you through right now? Are you trusting him in that one to go to the next one? Oh, no, I want to bypass that. I just want to... There's a journey. Some of you are looking in the mirror of somebody else's faith and somebody else's life. Why can't I have that? Why can't God speak to me like that? Well, there's more. There's more. And so he then goes on and says in verse 25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Intently into, he gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it will be blessed in what he does. You know that ancient proverb that goes, not a biblical proverb, that is, I hear, I forget, I see, I remember, I do, I understand. There comes a point where when you live it out, you're going to hold on to it. One of the fundamental reasons why the scriptures have been powerful in my family's life is when God made the major scriptural statement to our family through Mel about our future of leaving England. There was a scripture and it was the word of God. It did not make it easier. It didn't make it easier when God revealed, leave your country and your people and go to the place I'm showing you. It was 9 months from hearing that word to actually it becoming a reality. It didn't make it easier, but God said it. We believed it. We're doing it. Were there doubts in that? Were there difficulty in that? Was there questions in that? Absolutely. But God said it. We believed it. We stood in it. Did other people think we were crazy? A lot of them. Did it make sense to a lot of people? It didn't make sense to us. But if God says it, we believe it. Now let's act on it. If God said it, we believe it. Now act on it. So the mirror James is talking about is the word of God. Where are you looking for a reflection in your life? What are you hoping to see? Just as a physical mirror reveals your physical condition and what may be out of place, the word of God is a reflection on what the Lord wants us to see in our life. It's a soul mirror. He's wanting to reveal to your soul. It's a soul reflection. Here's what I have for you today, my child. Here's what I have for you today. This is good for you. It might not always be easy. It might be real, but this is good for you. This is a soul reflection. So we look into the word of God like a mirror, and our Heavenly Father says, this is what I want you to see today. This is what I want you to see, and this is what I want you to do about it. This is really important. And some of you are thinking, this is elementary, Des. I know, but I'm going there, but I'm asking you the question. What did God say to you yesterday, and have you done it yet? Or on Thursday? Or last week? Or 5 years ago? So is the word that goes out from my mouth, the scripture says, it will not return to me empty, but it will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. But he is patient with you. But what has he said, and have we lived it yet? So what mirror are you looking into? Is it the mirror of culture? The mirror of other people? The physical mirror today that's not a compact, that is our phone, and we have the turn it round screen facing selfie button, you know, for many of you who may take a selfie, before you post it, you filter it. You don't just go, post, oh, good picture, post. You don't like that one. Do it again. Don't like that one. Bad setting. Fix the lighting. Few blemishes. Erase them out. But then I'll post it. In the same way, what reflection are you living from? There's the mirror of culture, the mirror of politics, the mirror of your family, the mirror of expectation, the mirror of pain, the mirror of regret, the mirror of shame, the mirror of Jesus. Which mirror are you looking into for wisdom in your life and every sphere of your life? Are you listening in? Can you hear it? When you open your Bible, you're not reading information. You are meeting someone. So I'm going to get super practical right now. We have 9 weeks left of 2022, roughly. You're like, what? 9 weeks left of 2022. And I'm going to say it. You look at your own life, is there something missing? Something missing? Maybe it's God saying this to you and the gap is do it. Maybe for some of you is I'm not even listening to what God's saying to me. There's something missing there. But it's to do what it says, it's a big deal. I'm not saying there's anything wrong in doing good biblical study and understanding history and culture and context. It's all critical. But every time I study history and context and culture, it illuminates itself into our world today. It helps me see what was God's original intention for these words and how alive they become. The ancient rabbis would get their students and say, here's your passage of the Torah to memorize this week. Your homework is not to memorize it. Your homework is to come back with 50 questions from it. Because it's not enough just to memorize words in a monologue. Any actor can do that. It's to live it out. And so they come back with questions, and the word of God, the ancient rabbis would say, is like a diamond or a prism. And when you hold it up to the sunlight and the light hits it, the colors come out of it. And here's the word of God that is like this diamond, and the light shines through it and it reveals its beauty. But if I just turn it a little bit and take a look again, these different ones come off. And I turn it again and different ones come off. That's why when I read the scriptures, I may be reading the same scripture for the however many times and something fresh comes from it. Because we're changing. The word of God is still this diamond, but as the light shines through it, he's revealing his beauty and his teaching to me. That's why it's not flat and dead information. It is living and breathing, sharper than a double-edged sword. Have some of you got stale in the way you read your Bible and the beauty of it? Are you opening with an expectation to listen to the King, or is it just a religious book? I want to cause you to learn today. So in these weeks left this year, here's some steps. For some of you, it's just start. Just start opening and reading the scriptures each day. If you don't have the Bible app, get the YouVersion Bible app. There's a gazillion plans on there. I'm going to give you a little bit of a tip in a minute, but you can have the Bible in your pocket 24/7 if you want. If you don't own a Bible, I encourage you to get a printed Bible. Just go to the connection point in the lobby. It's right in the middle where the two counters are, and say, I don't have a Bible, and they'll give you one. It's really important. We'll give you one. Okay? So then you've got a Bible. Now just start. Just start. For some of you, I need to start. I need to think these next 9 weeks, let me just shake it up a little bit. Let me just shake it up. Let me just do something a little different. Let me pick a different chair to read my Bible. A different time of day. I just need to shake it up a little. I just need to trick my body into thinking a bit different. Let me just go there and spend some time on that. I'm going to start. I'm going to think of a way. I'm ready. I've got my Bible. I've got my Bible app. Now what do I read? Let me give you cookies on the bottom shelf that are really rich. You could just go with the book of James. It's 5 short chapters, but go slow. Real. build slow. Less is more here. Less is more. Read it. Oh, okay, just the book of James. Or you can never go wrong reading one of the Gospels because it's Jesus on earth. My suggestion would be go to Mark or John. Why Mark or John? Because if you're learned and you know this, pick one. You're all good. Matthew presents Jesus as king. Awesome. Mark presents Jesus as a servant. And I think that's the posture our culture needs right now. Not anger, shouting. We need a servant heart. We need servant leaders. Mark presents Jesus as a servant. Luke presents Jesus as a sinless, perfect man. And John presents Jesus as God, as divine. So I would suggest Mark or John. You could just start there and go slow. Or if you're thinking, I kind of want something to go alongside that, but I'm warning you on this. Whatever the day's date is, today's the 23rd, open to the book of Proverbs in the middle of your Bible. Go to Proverbs and today's date. There's 31 of them. So whatever the date is, you're on a win. So today I was even in this and I was all prepared and I went, let me read Proverbs 23. Kind of wish I didn't. There was a bunch of stuff in there that was like, oh. And I was like, all right, Lord. I don't even need to know what I need to do about this. You're making it pretty clear. This is the wisdom I need to apply. And you know what happened? It was the perfect law of the Lord that brought me freedom. Because at no one point did I think, loser. It was like, wow, your grace, Jesus, just revealed that to me. You so want my best and your kingdom. Wow. It was like he came alongside, a bit like last week, like a good athletic trainer who sees you doing something that's going to hurt you and goes, hey, you want to adjust that. You carry on doing that, it's going to give you pain. You want to adjust that. It was like the Lord just revealed and went, let's just adjust that. And I went, oh. So pick a proverb. If you need more help with that, clearly, guys, reach out to me. Reach out to one of our team. Send me an email. I'll respond to you. Set up a phone call. Buy me good coffee. I don't mind. I'll do it. It's what we do. We're shepherds here. I'm all good. And stop using the excuse, oh, you're too busy. It's like saying, oh, I won't come and see you, even though you can help. I know you're a busy doctor. I won't ask for your help. You wouldn't do that. All right? I'm just letting you know. You can do that. So just start. And here's what you're going to do with your just start. I have been using this acrostic, this acronym, for years. I made one adjustment to one of the meanings of the words that helped me, and this will really help you. Every day, use soap. You want to be clean? Use soap. So use soap. So pray with soap. Pray with soap. What are you talking about? When you go to open the word, always pray first. Always pray first and get your heart right. Okay, Lord. Here I am. I want to meet with you today. I want to hear from you today. Now, before you even open the word, you might have to do some confessing. You might have to seek some forgiveness. He's good. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants to. Let us approach his throne of grace with confidence. We can. He wants us to go listen to him. He wants, just pray. Okay, Lord, this is what I and pray. After you've prayed, then you go soap, S-O-A-P. S, get a notebook, is scripture. So you write down the reference of what you're going to read today. Oh, I'm going to read James chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. You write it down so you can see it. Then, when you've written it down, you read that scripture, slow. And then, after that, oh, it stands for observation. What do you see? What do you see there? Don't overcomplicate it. Don't overthink it. What if I don't see it right? Trust the Lord. He is good. Ask for his inspiration. What do you see? This is what I see. You may see and you think, I've got questions I don't understand. Make a note of the question and seek out somebody with that question. That's why we need one another in the scriptures. We need one another in the church. Ask somebody else. And if in doubt, ask one of our team. Oh, I've got a question. What do you see? And often you'll see something and you go, oh, this is what I see. A then stands for now apply that. What is the application? What is this asking me to do? What is it asking me to think, feel, do? Head, heart, hands. always. Learn, live, love. What is it saying? The New Testament is pretty much dominant application, application, application. Not doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. The most theological doctrinal book in the whole of the New Testament is Romans. Over 50%, 52% of Romans is application. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to live. So if you're only reading the scriptures for doctrinal purposes and not living it out purposes, you've missed the heart of God. We need both. This is what he's saying. This is what I believe. Now go live it. It's clear. There's so much in there of how we can apply it. We're going through Samson as a Bible character with our men on a Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. And we're looking at the life of Samson all these centuries ago. And the Lord's saying, yeah, Samson had three big problems that every guy has. Lust, entitlement, and pride. And they took him down. What can we learn from that and apply to our lives? Rich and full. Any guys, you can come any Tuesday, Sam, next door. Always welcome. You can jump in anytime. We're there every week. Anyway, moving on. P then stands for, some people put the word pray there. No, we're going to start with prayer and end with prayer. The P is put it into practice. Have a plan. You've read it, you've seen it, you've thinking, okay, this is what I need to do. Now have a plan. When are you going to put it into action? How am I going to put it into practice? Make that phone call. Make that decision. Stop doing that. Seek some wisdom. Come alongside somebody else. Thank the Lord. Praise him. He's given you an affirmation. He's given you some encouragement. He's poured some courage into you. Hell, I've got it. Put a plan. Put it into practice. Because Jesus said that's where you get strength. James said that's where you get fullness of life and blessing. So have a plan. Put it into practice. No better way of putting it into practice, move, thank you, than baptism. Shall we get the party started? Yeah. Okay. So, baptism is God said it, I believe it, I'm doing it. Jesus said, believe and be baptized. Baptism in the Bible always followed belief. So if you, Jesus, I believe in you. I give my life to you. I surrender my life to you. He and you are King. You are Lord. What are you saying? He says, be baptized. You go, okay, I'm in. We hear the word. We live the word in obedience to the word. Yeah, but why? Shut up. Just do it. Because you're living a life of obedience. You're taking the next step. I trust you, God. I want to declare this. I want to identify you with this. So if you're being baptized today, and you already know it, some of you are already doing it, move to this far side of the room right now. There's about 14 of you that are already pre-registered. Then the rest of you who have not been baptized. You know my favorite term? Splash dodgers. It's time. It's time. If Jesus is King, and maybe for some of you, you're like going, do you know what? My life, I've never fully given it to Jesus. Well, right here, right now. Give your life to Jesus and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. We saw that account in the scriptures all the time. And so at any point, when I'm talking or during the baptisms or during the song, make your way over there. The team will help you. They'll set you up. They'll talk to you. You'll understand it. You go get changed. You'll come back. We'll wait. Okay? Plenty of you. Already today with all these people being baptized, we already had 9 in the first service, 14 now. I'm pretty sure some more of you as well. Some more of you as well. This whole thing of trust what God says and do it, here's your first test. You're not being baptized, go do it. If you can't do that, why are you asking him for another freedom-bringing nugget? Go do that. Have a step of obedience in that. You go do that. But the reality is, today, without those extra people, it puts us as 91 people being baptized in 2022. 91 people. Now, let me say this, and people who know me, I'm not all big about the numbers, but I'll say this on baptism. Every number has a story, and every story has a name, and every name matters to God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I call them by name. It's personal. And for some of you, it's calling by name. It's calling you by, trust me in this. Come follow me. Come follow me. Learn from me. live with me and love like me. Come follow me. Every one of these people has a story to why. Every one of them has a name, and every name matters to God. That's what we're going to do. Hey, Jeff, I'm going to improvise a bit. Never done this before, but that's what I'm going to do. When the people come up to get baptized, I'll ask them the name, and I'll say, this is Gertrude. She's going to get baptized. I'm pretty sure we don't have a Gertrude. That's why I said that word. And then you all know, yeah. And when you're cheering and clapping and hollering, way to go, Gertrude! You know what I mean? Something like that. All right? So let's declare the name, yeah? Declare the name in that way. So baptism, here's what we're going to do. Come on out, Adam. Stop playing behind me, because you know if you don't play, I don't stop. So baptism. When they get to here, they are symbolizing that Jesus, the Son of God, for God so loved the world, he sent his one and only Son to earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus came to earth, life, sinless, perfect. His teachings started this redemption story that was so critical. They're representing his life, and I say Jesus' life started to change the course of human history. When they get in the pool, they represent Jesus again, because even though he was sinless and perfect, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. In the water is symbolizing that Jesus went to the cross for me and paid the penalty and the price of my disobedience to God, my sin, and he took it all. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then we lower you under the water, and in so doing, that symbolizes burial. And it looks like it's all over. It's the ultimate in darkness. And my Jesus went into darkness, and he took all of my sin and my shame and my guilt and buried it. And when that was taking place, it says that when Jesus actually breathed his last breath, there was an earthquake. And some of the graves started opening even then. What? It looked like it was all over. Darkness descended on the earth. But then on the third day, he came back. He rose again. You come up out of the water, symbolizing the most significant moment in human history. That it's not over. That you can be born again, newness of life. It's the power of the resurrection that changes everything. The empty tomb changed everything. And we have life. And you step out of the pool and somebody greets you and puts a towel around you. And although you may have had, your sin was like rags, you are now robed with a robe of righteousness. Welcomed into the family embrace. Because we baptize you into the family name. The name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you all a question right now, which is what you're kind of symbolizing in the water of why you're doing this. You're going to answer it with a big, bold yes. If the answer is no, you'll leave the stage. But I know you've already gone through this. It's a big, bold yes. So do you believe, move down a bit, move down a bit. Come out of the darkness into the light, my children. Okay, I count 18 already. And is there more? There's more. We're going to hit 100 today. Anyway, moving on. So, do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins and have you repented of them? Yeah. And do you declare Jesus to be your King, your Lord, and your Savior?
Yes.
And do you then, through the empowering and dwelling of the Holy Spirit, declare that you will live with him and for him all the days of your
Amen.
Life.
Yes.
It's on that confession of faith that will baptize you into the family name, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we get to do. So you guys are all going to leave, and then the team will direct you one by one while we're worshiping. When you come up, tell me your name. I'll declare your name, you get in the pool, and we lose our voices today. We lose our voices today. We all good? We all good? You guys make your way off. The musicians will come back on. Can you stand and join me in prayer? Join me in prayer. Don't just be merely listeners of his word. Do what it says. Some of you not being baptized, you just go. But for the rest of you, for these next 9 weeks, have a plan. This is really important now, but this is important. Go ahead, reach out to us. King Jesus, we declare you are Lord. We declare that you love us so much. You paid the supreme sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice for our sin. We declare that though our sin was as scarlet, you have made us white as snow. We declare that we are no longer slaves, but we're children of God, heirs to the King. And today we now celebrate your salvation, your grace, your mercy, your power, your love through these baptisms. We pray for our brothers and sisters today. Would you fill them to overflowing, Holy Spirit? Would you cause them to be light wherever they go today and in the days ahead? Would you protect them from the evil one? And would you remind them that who they are and whose they are? We celebrate you, our mighty King. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mo will baptize. Different guys will be getting in because people have asked someone to baptize with them. It'll be up on the screen so you can see them. Every time they came up, they come up just like before. We declare into the heavenlies and we send a signal to the spirits of darkness. Our God reigns and he is alive. Okay? Let's go. This is Trenton, everybody. Trenton. I'm leading worship. Okay, good, good.
The work is finished. The end is written. Jesus Christ, my living
John, this is John.
Could imagine so great a mercy, what heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken.
Everybody. family getting baptized yet? Whole family.
On me. Then came the morning, sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe.
It's Bobby James. Bobby James. Bobby James.
Roaring lion, declared the grave has no claim on me.
Quiet for you, McKenna, but it won't be in a minute. We're just switching song. Go for it. Yeah! Aiden with an A. Aiden with an A.
Do you worship the God who was? We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place.
Riley!
We won't
Riley!
Be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place.
Coming.
Go.
So good, guys, so good. Let me give you some practicals here right now. Straight following this, we got a lunch available. Those who've got potluck stuff to bring, we'll be doing that. Grab food. Everybody else who wants to, at 1 o'clock, so like 30 minutes or so, dive back in here for our business meets, about 25 minutes, just some updates, but really importantly, commissioning and praying for the servant leaders on our leadership team. Our elder council will take place. That'll be done by 1:30, so you can grab food, come in, hang out with the families out there as well, and stay as long as you need to. That's all super awesome. Look forward to seeing you all on Friday at our trunk or treat as well. But today, there was joy in the house of the Lord. And all them people who get baptized, take it that in the year 2022, Grace Community Church baptized 101 people. Woo! Yeah. King Jesus, Soli Deo Gloria. To the glory of God alone, be magnified in all of our lives today and throughout the days to come. We give you praise. Amen. Amen.